We're going to look at one verse and then launch into an explanation from the whole Bible on that verse. Matthew chapter 4, and just one verse, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious and wonderful word. We thank you for the truth of it, and we ask you to encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus came on the scene and began to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The word defined, what does he mean by that? Well, first, let's start in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God knew that man would sin, and man sinned, and sin came across the whole world. He destroyed him in a flood. Then he began with Abraham to build a nation. And first, he formed a people. Then he gave them a land. And thirdly, they became a kingdom. They became the nation Israel. And God ruled through them, but he ruled through the king. The king was different than a president we would have today. God doesn't rule through a president the same way he ruled through Israel. He ruled through the king. The king was to listen to the Lord, obey the Lord, and lead the people accordingly. He also ruled through the priests. But they were an earthly kingdom, an earthly nation. Well, you know how good Israel was. I wouldn't want to pastor too many of those, I'll tell you that, right? They had all kinds of troubles, and God warned them and warned them and warned them. Finally, God disciplined them. And God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come down and to destroy the temple and take them into captivity. And from that time, they were scattered. They were able to come back to the land, but no longer were they an independent, self-governing nation. So now we come to the New Testament, and Jesus comes on the scene preaching, "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus was coming to preach a kingdom, the rule of God on the earth. But the nation rejected him. They rejected him as king. And only that was part of God's plan, because before God can have a kingdom on earth, he must change the human heart. And so Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and we are changed on the inside. So there is no earthly kingdom yet. Where is God's kingdom now? Well, Jesus told in many parables, the kingdom will be like this. The kingdom will be as a mustard seed, and then it will grow. It will be like this when the word is planted, and there'll be different hearts that will receive it. Well, primarily the kingdom is now in the human heart, in the people who are saved. God does not have an earthly kingdom. It is a kingdom where he rules in our hearts. We are now submissive to the king. We sang in that song about the king who rules in our heart. The church is not the kingdom. God works his will through the church and through the people who are part of him, but we are not the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom. We are the kingdom as God rules within us because he's changed our heart. But that's not enough. And so there is coming what we know, a coming kingdom. That is the millennial reign of Christ, in which Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he will establish an earthly kingdom, an earthly reign. We will come back with him who've been changed, and we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Israel will be brought back to the Lord, and they'll be part of that kingdom. And so Jesus talked about a kingdom, but the people were not ready. So there will be a work of God in the human heart to eventually, when through the tribulation, he brings that earthly kingdom and he will rule on this earth. There will be a brief period of time, and then we will go into God's eternal, everlasting kingdom, in which he will be the ruler of all, and we will be totally submissive and wanting to follow him. God rules today, but he does not have an earthly kingdom. Now, I don't mean God doesn't rule as he will, but he will rule one day in a much stronger way, because on the earthly kingdom, he will rule, and that will be it. Now he rules through people. Now he rules through his sovereignty. But people are allowed and sin is allowed to do its work. But in eternity, that will end. There will be no more. The kingdom. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven at his hand. Now you may not know this, but there are different views of the kingdom. I am a premillennialist. And I hope you are too. Since that's what I am. A premillennialist. What is a premillennialist? A premillennialist believes just what we understand the scripture to be. That Jesus Christ will come back prior to that 1,000-year reign. We will take the book of Revelation, which is future, and it will describe that 70th week of Daniel. It will describe 7 years of tribulation. Jesus Christ will come back, and then he will establish his earthly millennium. It's called premillennialism because we understand it that way. There are others that I've begun to discover troubles me a little bit, and some of them are a little few Baptist that I'm going to have to do a little more research on this. The other two views are postmillennialism and amillennialism. Amillennialism, the word a means no. They do not believe there will be an earthly millennium. There will be no millennium. We're kind of in the millennium now because they understand the kingdom is being ruled through the church. So there will be no future earthly millennium. They are amillennialist. When I went to seminary, you had to be a premillennialist and that was it. That is the conservative view. That's the best understanding of scripture as I preached it over the years to you. But all millennialists do not believe in the millennium. They believe there is a kingdom now within the church. So I'm a little suspicious of some things I've heard. And I listen to some pastor, oh yeah, I'm all millennialist. What in the world are you talking about? I'm going to do a little research on this because I am not that. And I hope you're not either. You know what Jehovah's Witnesses are? You know why they don't meet in a church? They don't meet in a church. If you go by and drive by them, they meet in a kingdom hall. They don't meet in a church. They meet in the kingdom hall. Why? Because back in the 1800s, someone came along and said, you know what? Jesus is coming back in 1844. So they all gathered together and Jesus didn't come back. Oh, well, we had it wrong. So they began to different splintered groups, and later on they said, you know, Jesus is coming back in 1925. And 1925 came and he didn't come. So the group said we had it wrong, but there was a group of them said, you know what, he did have it right. He did have it right. He did come, but he came to us as the Jehovah Witnesses. So now we're the kingdom. That's why they meet in a kingdom hall. Because they're the kingdom now. I remember talking to one time and asking them, well, let's suppose I believed everything you said. Am I still going to be a part of the kingdom or in heaven? No. Okay, what I need to do? So the more we kept plying through the wood and kept going right, unpeeling the onion, when it got right down to, you know, the truth was, I had to be a Jehovah's Witness and I wasn't going to be in there. That was it, period. They mean the kingdom hall. Because to them, Christ has already come, but he only came secretly to them. That's why they don't believe in Christ, and that's why they believe the things they do. You and I don't believe that. We're looking forward to a coming kingdom. Jesus rules in our heart. When he said the kingdom is at hand, he knew that he would die on the cross, and he must change the human heart first before he could establish an earthly kingdom. So he rules in your heart now. He rules through you in this church. But not as a kingdom, but as a people who are submissive to him. Post-millennialists believe that we're going to establish through the preaching of the word and through the preaching of things and through the ministry of the church that we're going to bring about the millennium. We could be in it right now as far as they're concerned because we're going to bring it about. We're going to have so many good things happen that eventually we're just going to be part of it, and we're just going to bring around this. I don't know if they believe in a 1,000-year reign, but we're going to bring it in, and then Jesus will come back, and then that will be the end. As though a preacher, I don't really care about that. Well, you need to. Because somewhere in a conversation, you might hear someone say, oh, I'm an amillennialist. Okay. Your radar ought to go, whoa. What are you now, an amillennialist? You don't believe Jesus Christ is coming back? You know, sometimes I guess I make the assumption that everybody believes what I believe. I finally discovered that's not true. And I just think a lot of pastors, they just believe what I believe until they say something. One particular pastor I know, one day, I think back now years ago, he said something about how he interpreted Revelation, and he said a certain word, and I go, never heard that word. So I got to study and go, okay, that's where you get all millennium from. You and I don't have the same agreement. The kingdom is yet to come. We are pre-millennialist. If you're not, talk to me about it. You may not know, I'm a pre-millennialist. Well, big deal. Well, you are. Because the kingdom is yet future. You know where it says in Revelation chapter 20, God will bring about a great tribulation of 7 years. Then Jesus Christ will come back, and we will come back with him, and he will establish an 1,000-year earthly reign upon the earth. He will rule with a rod of iron. Any disobedience, bam, will be taken care of. There will be no disobedience. But here's the difference. Why does he do that? Once again, I think he does it to show that the people that go in the millennium are unsaved, but they will be ruled by Christ. And yet the human heart, with 1,000 years of perfection, with 1,000 years of a perfect king, with 1,000 years of a perfect rule, when Satan is released, they rebel again. Because what happens is you can take the outward thing. You say, boy, if we just had the right government, it might help us a little bit. We might have a few more things, but I'm going to tell you something. Man is not going to establish peace on earth. It will be Christ who will have to come. And unless the human heart is changed, there is no submission to Christ. You have a spiritual kingdom. Christ is ruling in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are serving him. We're trying to reach out. We're part of the church. In the Old Testament, God worked through Israel. Now in the New Testament, he's working through the church. And we're his instrument. Guess what? You heard the man this morning? In Russia? In China? You know what? If God were to say, can I show you my TV screen? Can I show you where I have my people all around the world? We would go, wow, I cannot believe that. That's the wisdom. In the Old Testament, it was just a nation that he ruled from. In the New Testament, he now works through a church which is everywhere. Everywhere on this planet. You know how many churches we have in Boston? I don't know, but it's a bunch of them. We've got a bunch of them. There's churches everywhere. Churches all over the place. Some are good and some are not. But the truth is that God has a people everywhere. I would bet you anything, though I don't bet. I believe that if you would do a survey of all the businesses, I would assure you that somewhere in all the businesses, I bet if you could do a genuine survey, you'd find there's a Christian somewhere. God has a secret army just planted everywhere of his people who go to a church, who worship the Lord, who serve the Lord, who are encouraged, and then they go out into the world, and God's just planting a church all over the way. Just to hear him this morning tell about Russia and tell about China and tell what all God is doing, that's where we are today. God is reaching out to the entire world and changing people's hearts. But there will come a time, and I sure hope it's soon, there will come a time that when Jesus will say, the Father will say, enough is enough. We're going to end it. Jesus, you're coming back. First, he's going to come back in the rapture. If you didn't know, there's pre-millennialism. We're not all-mill. We're not post-mill. But in pre-millennium, there is pre-trib.
Some are mid-trib, some are post-trib. I'm pre-trib. So you go out and tell everybody, preacher's pre-trib. I'm pre-trib, which means Christ is going to come back in the rapture and take us home to heaven. And the dead in Christ will be raised. Then there will be 7 years of tribulation on this earth, and then we will come back with him and reign with him. And that day is getting closer when Christ will rule and reign in the human heart. When that comes, when the end comes, when heaven comes, and God says enough, there'll be no more saved. I think God knows who all he's going to save. He's going to save a whole pile of them in the tribulation. And when the end comes, we will enjoy him forever and ever and ever. God just wants people who are submissive to him and who love him. That's what salvation is. Are we perfect? No. We will never be perfect because we're stuck in this body. We're stuck in this body. I don't know about you, but I'm stuck in my body. I might can get a few new parts every once in a while, but that's it. I'm stuck in this body. And as I'm in this body, the flesh inhabits it, and it pulls down. And so the Holy Spirit can't fully make me perfect until he takes me home to heaven, until he brings it all about. Oh, yeah, people don't want to hear about heaven. Well, I don't know about you, I do. The older I get, the more I long for say, oh, hallelujah, there's a heaven. I've stood there where people didn't know Christ. And I've stood there where people knew Christ. And knowing there is a future heaven in which God will rule us forever and ever and ever. He will be our king, and we will enjoy him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and it will never end. It will never end. It will go on and on and on. So when you get a little bogged down in today, just remember God's still working in your heart. He's still doing something inside you as you're part of his spiritual kingdom. But one day we will join him and reign forever and ever in eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of your family and being part of your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you that it will not end here, that there will be a time you will come back and take us home if we are alive, and those who are dead in the graves, you will raise them up. And then there will be 7 years of tribulation, and then you will come back and establish an earthly kingdom. And that's where we will serve you and rule. And then at the end, you will establish the everlasting kingdom. As at the great white throne judgment, the unsaved are cast out forever and ever from your presence. Hard for us to even comprehend. So, Lord, help us. There's Christians everywhere. Help us to be those secret agents who go out there to serve you and be a testimony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.